I think we ought to get started. We've got a good group out here this morning, and first of all, we appreciate you braving the snow and ice to be here. My name is Chuck Hibbard. I'm the director of the University of Nebraska Panhandle Research and Extension Center, and it's our pleasure to an honor to help host this event today. We've got a great program for you, and I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. I do want to mention that this Range Beef Cow Symposium is held every 2 years, and it is sponsored and organized by four different universities in this region: Nebraska, Colorado State, Wyoming, and South Dakota State. And four individuals from those four universities get together, put the program together, get the facilities and everything organized, and pull this off. And this year it's Nebraska's turn. Dr. Ivan Rush, and I know many of you know Ivan. Ivan's standing over here on the wall. We appreciate Ivan's leadership. From Colorado, Dr. Jack Whittier. Jack, over here. And from South Dakota, Dr. Trey Patterson. Is Dr. Patterson over here? And from Wyoming, Dr. Steve Paisley. Steve's down here running the audiovisual equipment. Let's give these guys a round of applause for their hard work in pulling this thing together. I do need to take just a short commercial break and let you know that Ivan is extremely pleased to get this thing pulled off and get the show on the road. But Ivan's also extremely pleased for another reason, and that is that in an effort to better serve the beef cattle industry in this region, we are in the process of doubling the size of our research feedlot at the Panhandle Research and Extension Center. When we're done, we'll have 86 research pens, uniform, state-of-the-art pens. We'll be in a position to do the kind of work that needs to be done for the feedlot industry in this region, and we think that's very appropriate. So we're excited about that. Ivan's excited about it, and we're excited to get it off the ground. A couple of our sponsors today that I want to point out, name badge sponsor, Elanco Animal Health. We appreciate that very much. Your break sponsors, and yes, we'll have some breaks and be able to enjoy donuts and coffee and so on. Hubbard Feeds, Nebraska Cattlemen, Land O'Lakes Feed and Agland Inc., and Diamond V Mills, and we very much appreciate their sponsorship of the breaks. The organization that's helped sponsor a number of our speakers here for this event, Nebraska Beef Council. And then as you came in, if you looked on the wall, some Western art that will be given away as door prizes at the end of the event on Thursday, sponsored by Beef Magazine. And so we appreciate their support as well. So many fine sponsors. And, of course, we recognize that the most important sponsors that we have are you folks that are in the room today and your willingness to be here and participate. One other point that I wanted to share with you is that there's a lot of technology around today, and that's kind of exciting because there's some good things happening. And as an example of that, Boehringer Ingelheim VetMedica Inc., along with the Angus Production Inc., is providing real-time coverage of this Range Beef Cow Symposium. It's online. And you can log on to, it's very simple, www.rangebeefcow.com, www.rangebeefcow.com. And if you get on there, you'll be able to download the audio archives from the symposium, the proceeding papers, the PowerPoint presentations, and a synopsis of the event. So if at any point there's any information that you want to that you missed and you want to review, please don't hesitate to get on that. I think that's a great service for this event. Okay, just a couple of things as we get ready to kick this off. Each of the presentations this morning will be about 30 minutes long. If we have some time at the end, we may have time for a question or two, but the real opportunity to discuss issues will be this evening at the bullpen sessions at the Gehring Civic Center in Gehring. And if you haven't been to the Gehring Civic Center before, you'll enjoy that location. Of course, there's dinner there for those that signed up for dinner. And then the bullpen sessions after that. Those bullpen sessions are a great opportunity to really dig in on some of these issues, ask the tough questions, and try and move forward on understanding of some of these issues. So that's the primary time when we'll be doing questions and discussion. Our first speaker this morning is Sally Adkins. Many of you know Sally, the executive director of the Nebraska Beef Council out of Kearney. Sally is a cow-calf producer from Halsey, Nebraska. She and her husband, Al, have a commercial Angus and crossbred herd and background calves on their Sand Hills Ranch. They have three daughters. Sally is the executive director of the Nebraska Beef Council, and after being extremely active on the volunteer side of the beef industry on both the state and national level, she served for 2 years as the vice chair of the Beef Committee for the International Livestock Congress and on the board of directors for the International Stockmen's Educational Foundation. She currently serves as chair of the State Execs Advisory Group for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. In Nebraska, Sally has been a director and past chairman of the Nebraska Beef Council and officer for Nebraska Cattlemen, Sand Hills Cattle Association, and Nebraska Cattlewomen. She also served as chair of the Nebraska Ag Leadership Council, a youth group. Other activities include board of directors for the Center for Grassland Studies, the UNL Food Safety Executive Committee, University of Nebraska Goodmanson Sand Hills Advisory Group, CARAT Delegate for UNL, UNL Advisory Councils for Animal Science and Ag Economics, NCTA Advisory Council, and Nebraska State Fair Board. Sally participates in leadership mentoring for youth with various colleges and organizations. Awards include Cattlewoman of the Year and being named to the UNL Block and Bridle Hall of Fame, the first woman to receive that recognition. In 2001, she was elected to the Nebraska Hall of Ag Achievement, and the Nebraska Agribusiness Club recently honored her with the Public Service to Agriculture Award. So we're extremely pleased and proud to bring to you Sally Adkins to talk about new beef products and how they have helped increase demand for beef. Please help me welcome Sally Adkins.
Good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here. After driving last night, it's a pleasure to be anywhere. I'd just like to say I've been a fan of this Range Beef Cow Symposium for many years, and so what a treat to be able to address this group. I work for the best people in the world, and that's you, the producers. I always smile when I'm asked to give a talk because it reminds me of the first time I ever gave a keynote speech. And I asked my husband if he wanted to come listen to it, and he said, you know, hon, I've been on the receiving end of quite a few of your speeches. You really think I need to hear one more? Anyway, by the way, the stage is really festive. Doris, you did a great job. I hear Nebraska is close to getting a new head coach. Unfortunately, the first three recruits they brought in drowned. They're still looking for that guy that can walk on water. Well, we need to get going so we can stay on time. I couldn't have been given a better topic, one that I am so excited about. And if some of the enthusiasm isn't catching by the time I get through, then you're in the wrong business. And that is how new beef products have helped increase demand for beef. We've all seen the face of the industry change a great deal over the years. We've come from swinging beef to what we thought was a huge shift to box beef. Now we're seeing more closely trimmed cuts and case-ready beef, and introduction of thousands of new products. Since 1998, when the industry was on a continual downslide with demand, we've done a lot of things in our industry to make a difference. One of the primary things is to focus on consumers and their changing needs, along with new product development. And as a result, we've seen increase in demand at about 10%. You may ask yourself, why do we need new products? We've done pretty well for many, many decades. Well, we just saw a need that we needed to be able to do a better job with our competition. They were really out in front. So the beef industry created what's called an R&D, or research and development ranch, concept in 1997 to jumpstart new product development and improve the market price for undervalued beef. Two-thirds of our carcass was not selling very well. It continued to decline in demand. The chuck and the round, these came to be known as the underutilized cuts. The industry had identified a huge challenge, and the industry-wide long-range plan decided they were going to focus on just that, increasing value to the chuck and the round. So when the industry made it a priority, good things started to happen. Watch this clip.
CNBC presents Squawk Box with Mark Haynes.
Mark, after losing out to chicken on the all-American dinner table for decades, beef decided to turn the tables on its feathered friends by using some of chicken's own tactics. Figure out a way to make more money out of every cut of beef and by making beef easier to use in everyday dishes. The researchers, technicians, taste testers of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Culinary Center in Chicago. What they do is spend their time dreaming up, then cooking up different ways to prepare and slice up beef.
This is the beef version of a boneless, skinless chicken breast. It's just as lean, it's tender, it's nutritious, and I think the best thing about this is that it tastes like steak instead of chicken.
Here may be the single greatest beef idea of all time, a cheeseburger fry.
Do they give the Nobel Prize for food?
I think they should if they don't.
I think they should do them.
They figured out several new cuts.
This will run you about 99 cents a pound on sale. And our goal is that we can create steaks out of here that might go from $4.99 to $5.99 a pound.
Pretty exciting. But in addition to focusing on our consumer, we knew we had to focus on our competition, as I said. The poultry industry had come out with many new products, and how about that infamous rotisserie chicken? I'm sure a lot of you have seen these in your deli meat case. Would you believe that they sell a million of these things a day? That's equivalent to $1.6 billion a year. We had a lot of catching up to do. Almost without exception, all of the new products that I'm going to talk about today come from these underutilized cuts, the chuck and the round. And at the end of my talk, you're going to see the success the industry has realized from this. So look at what the beef industry has done to compete with the rotisserie chicken. We call it the home-style beef pot roast. Very attractive 1.5 to 2 pound fully cooked pot roast, complete with vegetables, served hot. Just take it home in a ready-to-serve container that the consumer can toss away when their family's through with the meal, and it's competing very favorably with the rotisserie chicken. It's available at Kroger stores and Super Target. The next thing we have is partnerships. Why are partnerships so important? Well, especially with checkoff dollars, it's a good way for us to leverage our dollars for wins in the industry in order to increase sales and increase demand. As we do this, we look at some of the chains that we've had the biggest success with. Taco Bell's a good example. If you remember their theme, Upgrade to Steak, and they introduced a lot of new items on their menu. Most of them are just for trial runs, but if they're really successful, they wind up as permanent menu items. An example of that would be the steak quesadillas and the grilled stuffed steak burritos. If you've never tried them, they're very good. And what these chains are finding out is they're selling millions of pounds of this new steak product that they never thought possible. Some other partnerships that have been very successful have been Arby's with their pot roast sandwich, and now they have new beef and provolone Italian sandwich. Quiznos with their new bistro beef sub. But one success story I want to share with you is Domino's. Most of us don't think of pizza chains as being the largest restaurant chains, but they're the eighth largest. And they decided to introduce, along with working with the beef industry, a new Philly cheesesteak pizza. This launched over Labor Day, and they initially were just going to do a two-month promotion. Their goal was to sell between 800,000 and 900,000 pounds of the Philly cheesesteak. Go to the next slide. Well, in the first 2 weeks, they sold over 900,000 pounds of this new product. It's a whole muscle cut from the loin tail. So successful that they have continued the promotion well into 2004, and like so many others, we hope that it becomes a permanent menu item. Research has really led the way. A lot of checkoff investments go into research, new product development, food safety behind the scenes. But one of the most revolutionary pieces of research to ever happen in our lifetimes and in this industry has been the muscle profiling research. It was funded with checkoff dollars, and it took place at the University of Nebraska, spearheaded by Dr. Chris Calkins, and the University of Florida with Dr. Dwayne Johnson. They looked at what they could do to make a difference in moving the chuck and the round. 39 different muscles. By the time they got through with the trial, they had analyzed over 5,600 different muscles for their functionality and their palatability. And it's kind of like the rest of history. They highlighted these muscles as to their degree of tenderness and flavor. It's not been quite 4 years ago that this research was done, and ultimately, they'd hope to optimize the value of each and every muscle cut, create alternative uses for these cuts, increase menu variety and raw material options, lead to more targeted, value-added research, and continue to increase the demand for underutilized cuts. And I think all of us know with the current market situation and with the whining that we're hearing from food service and retail about high beef prices, that the timing has been excellent to incorporate these underutilized cuts onto menus and into retail. And it also gives us the ability to compete very favorably with the other proteins. The industry's just scratched the surface as far as discovering applications for this revolutionary research. It's significantly impacted the value of cuts from the chuck and round. As we look at the implementation of single muscle or muscle groups, it's caused major changes in fabrication. And I think back to the first R&D ranch that we hosted in Nebraska at the University Animal Science Complex. February of 2000, all the major four packers were there. They watched the fabrication process. Keep in mind how many decades we fabricated in the same manner. And they said as they went through it, things like, well, by God, if you think we're going to fabricate any different, if you think we're going to slow down our processing lines, if you think we're going to build on further processing. But by the time they left there today, that day, they watched and they listened. And they finally said, if the consumer wants it, we'll do it. And look at where we are today. Just from the shoulder clod alone, where we used to have 14% steaks come from that primal, we now get 47% steaks. And so you can imagine what's happened with the value. Really leading this has been the one that's popular to many of us now is the flat iron steak. We spent almost a year just promoting this from the Nebraska Beef Council because we were so excited about it. The muscle known as infraspinatus, it's the second most tender muscle in the entire carcass, and it's really, really taken consumers by storm. We followed this up with the shoulder tender, sometimes called tender medallions, and the shoulder center, a ranch cut steak, also eat great. In addition to the muscle profiling research, they also did some additional research for cow muscle profiling. And many producers think, you know, why do we need to look so closely at what we do with our non-fed animals, our cull cows and bulls? But in reality, they don't just go into ground beef. As much as 44% of that carcass goes into whole muscle cuts. So it's equally important to know how those muscles perform. This muscle profiling research has been so popular, it's been translated into five different languages, and it's allowed us to go to many countries. In fact, just in Nebraska, we've been to Russia, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Germany promoting and selling these underutilized cut and value steaks, and they've gone over extremely well. The beef industry is so confident that these new cuts are going to have such a huge impact on sales that are going to benefit producers, processors, and marketers that they developed a guide that looks like this called the Beef Value Cuts Guide. And it's been used widely, and we can continue to get a lot of requests for it. So as we look at these primals, the chuck and the round, and how long they've been undervalued, we know because of this research that we're going to satisfy more consumers and more restaurant operators because of the consistency and the convenience that they offer. That's a huge win for the industry. Let's look at product development trends. The introduction of these beef value cuts has resulted in more than 100 processors now doing this, and 300 chain and independent food service operators using these cuts. So when you think in just less than four short years, we really have made amazing strides in how we fabricate that carcass to add value. Then as we go to the retail and food service channels, a few years ago when we were trying to incorporate convenience products, heat and serve products into the meat case, the retailers were very reluctant to do so. They thought, these products are great, but we don't want them in our meat case. They'll compete with our fresh meat products. So it took a lot of urging to get them to put them in their meat case. And once we did, consumers didn't know what they were. And so the challenge was to get consumers to try them. We had a little theme going at the Nebraska Beef Council for consumers, if they try them, they will buy them. And that really was true. As we look at these beef value cuts, they've expanded all through the retail department now. Half are in separate dedicated sections, and almost half are integrated with other protein groups. In other words, you might see beef, pork, and poultry all in the same section, but beef has a commanding lead with convenience products now. And so the incidence of finding these in the stores is almost universal. It's hard to go into any store now and not find convenience products. Another important move has been branded products. And CAB has really blazed the trail for branded products. But our industry is about 40% there. We continue to gain ground every day, moving on from the commodity business. And with the addition of these have been many frozen entrees that you can also find throughout the retail section. So to get beef and other categories throughout the store has also been very important, adding to the different grocery categories as well as snacks. And we just continue to find more opportunities to work in other departments in retail in addition to the fresh meat department. Let's look at some of the latest in new products. And to me, this is very exciting. We have a lot of new products developed, but none quite as exciting as the one I'm going to share with you this morning. When we stop and think about it, we have so much room to grow. 25% of our calories are consumed via snacking, and we don't own very much of that category. We also only own 4% of beef servings for breakfast and snack products. So along came the cheeseburger fries. The next step in getting towards what we've been labeled as a society of dashboard diners, we needed to work hard on identifying more portable foods. And believe me, folks, it's hard to get these recipes just right to where consumers really like them and they perform the way they're supposed to. But these cheeseburger fries, they're a tasty combination of ground beef and cheese, just like a supersized French fry, a crispy coating, and really a fun new finger food. Let's look at this video to see how some of the Fox News reporters reacted.
Here comes the Nobel Prize winning.
I was hoping you would bring. I've got to try this.
There they are. Cheeseburger fries.
And then there's also some of our great new value steaks to try.
Value steaks and cheeseburger fries. Have a cheeseburger fry.
Have a cheeseburger fry.
Yeah, by all means.
Life does not get any better than this.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
On TV.
This is very good.
These are our steak. New value steaks. They are the flattering steak you'll be seeing out there. It's a great value. Tastes as good as a ribeye or T-bone, but of much better value when you see it at the store.
Is that good?
That's very good.
Yeah.
Good.
See?
Tender,
that's
flavorful.
Good. I'll take care of you.
That's good.
Yeah, if I don't
know. Take the beef, everyone loves.
Okay, so I'd like to wrap some of that up and take it with you.
Yeah, I'll just stop.
Don't bother
to wrap it.
Look at Steve and the newscasters were having fun sampling the new products. As we move to
Nobel Prize.
As we move on, I think it's important to understand just how these new products get recognized and how we certify and guarantee that they are good. A new product that we're very excited about also is a breakfast item from the Country Cousins brand. It's a new breakfast patty, tastes like sausage, that many people would agree it's superior to sausage, already been signed the mark of quality. This symbol is kind of like the good housekeeping seal of approval, and the beef products that bear this mark of quality let the consumer know that it's been recognized as a new beef product that delivers on the taste, quality, and satisfaction that they're looking for. So just one more way of building our brand. And let's go on and talk about building our brand. A few years ago, the industry took a two-pronged approach in promoting beef, and that was through convenience and nutrition. And both have been extremely popular. And in order to do that, we knew that we had to make beef easier to choose and easier to use for the consumer, going along with the convenience part of it. And we also knew that we knew beef was nutritious, but it took a lot of research behind the scenes to ensure to consumers about the nutritional aspects of beef. And we capitalized on that through our advertising promotions and education. But one thing that has to go on, whether you're dealing with new products or anything else, just to sustain your level of marketing, is to capitalize on what you do best. And so a new feature was added a year ago, and it was like, what took us so long to realize that beef owned this category? And it was the one of enjoyment. So both the television ads and the print ads capitalize on the enjoyment factor. The number one reason why people eat beef is because they enjoy it. It's the one way we can differentiate ourselves out there in the marketplace, is that building the beef brand or the essence of enjoyment, and we capitalize on that through promotion. Convenience and nutrition rank hand-in-hand in consumers' mind, but both rank significantly lower than that category of enjoyment. And that's really our key to be able to increase consumption out there with consumers. We need to keep them choosing our protein over the others every day, and so developing that beef brand is critical. Let's watch one of the new TV promotion ads.
Not yet. Okay.
These are just an example of the enjoyment ads that are out there. One of my favorite is Why Space Aliens Steal Our Cows. There's also Nobody Ever Left a Cookout Wishing There Was More Macaroni Salad. And all of a sudden, a $2,000 grill seems perfectly reasonable. These are just three of the four that are out there. In addition, we also have some of the new nutrition print ads circulating. You see them in some of your producer publications. And this is just letting consumers know that we compare very favorably to what they viewed to be the gold standard for good eating for many years with poultry. Lets everybody know that lean beef just has one more gram of saturated fat than poultry. And it has some humorous comments on there, so stop by the booth later and see what they are. One thing I didn't mention in some of the new things that are going on is what Case Ready is doing to the marketplace. And these can definitely constitute new products or a new way that consumers buy beef. And a lot of concern out there in the marketplace as to how much Case Ready will take over. But Walmart has endorsed it, and many large packers are going to Case Ready. It really enhances their ability for traceability. That it has a lot of food safety aspects. As we have this modified atmosphere packaging on the Case Ready, it extends the shelf life from 2 to 3 days up to 4 to 6 days. And distinct advantages on labor saving, and yet there are many stores that don't want to give up their meat cutting in the back of their store. So a huge challenge for the industry on what Case Ready will bring to the future. I wanted to go back and pick up on how many new convenient products. When we first started a few years ago, we just had a handful of Heat and Serve, and now there are over 1,200 of these new products on the marketplace. And so as we continue to expand and see more new products enter the marketplace all the time, they're going to have to be good ones or they aren't going to survive. I wanted to talk to you now about value, and this is a chart that is so fun to show, because we've all seen what's happened in 2003 with the markets. But look at the value of the chuck price. As we talked about how we focused on adding value to the chuck and the round, as you look at that bottom red line of the five-year average, and then look at what finally happened in 2002 when this muscle profiling research and a lot of these value cuts really started to take off. That's the first time we saw that line move up in many, many years. And then with the spike we see in prices now, it's very exciting for the industry. There's also a slide here on the round. We've not focused quite as much on the round, but are just starting to identify higher and better uses for this primal as well. So stay tuned, because I think it's going to continue to be very exciting for the industry. So whether we add value to products via new products or exports, and we've been very successful with exports in undesirable meats that our consumers may not care to eat, that we can add value by exporting. Also variety meats, and now what is happening with the underutilized cuts in other countries. Whatever we do to increase the value of that carcass and increase carcass utilization, and subsequently gives you the ability to be more profitable. But one thing we have to remember is what an essential component demand is. And as Dr. Wayne Purcell so aptly described it, demand is selling more product at a higher price. And that's what our industry has proven recently that it is able to do. I'd like to close with saying that we have a responsibility as producers, and that responsibility is to continue to focus on satisfying consumers. That's really when we saw the demand curve turn around. It wasn't just the introduction of new products. It was a whole combination of things, but all of those things focused on our end user, the consumer. And remember this, that any of us that raise cattle are beef producers. And also, we have one customer, that's the consumer. They are the ones that vote every day with their dollars whether or not we stay in business. So it is so important, no matter what we do and what we learn here at this Range Beef Cow Symposium, that we begin with the end in mind, because we want to do everything we can to ensure a satisfying, enjoyable eating experience for that consumer, because they will determine whether or not this market is sustainable for us, they and they alone. As I mentioned earlier, we've had some whining from food service and retail about the prices, but you know what? The consumer has remained extremely loyal. And consumer confidence is paramount if we're going to continue to increase demand. We must keep them choosing beef. We must be able to ensure food safety. And new products are helping us establish that and accomplish our goals. Back at the booth, I'd asked Cattle Facts, Randy Block, permission to reprint a paper that he did on Is This Market Sustainable? So I encourage you to go back and pick one up while you're here at the symposium. I'd like to thank you for the privilege of being able to speak with you here today, and I really look forward to our bullpen session this evening. Thanks a lot.